sessions, Stephen continues his talk about Habit 5 and the importance of first seeking understanding in any communication.
We're supposed to be a soundboard so they can hear themselves.
Sounding board to feeling more than content. So they can hear themselves. Reflect feeling, meaning. Because that's where motivation lies. That's why you listen with your eyes more than your ears. A little with your ears, but mostly with your eyes and your heart. Now, start doing it with this boy. Dad, I just, I don't know. It's so hard to say. I mean, you're on the school board and everything.
Having a hard time expressing yourself?
Beautiful. See? You read my body language. See, I couldn't even look you in the eye. Express myself, especially to who?
Please.
Right. See? It's hard. Because you're so big on school. Now, because you did that, the dynamic is you gave me air. Now I take off another layer of that onion. Yeah, Dad, I just feel that, gosh, the way I've been around home lately, acting all on my frustrations on everybody, oh, brother, gosh.
You will solve whatever's your problem.
Oh, I wish I could talk about what I want to talk about. I see, you mean well.
Yeah.
You mean well. You're affirming me. But the greatest way to affirm me is to show you understand me. I can breathe a little more and I'll open up a little more, see? Oh, the way I've been acting out my frustrations on everybody. Oh, brother.
You feel bad about that.
Right. Okay. See, I'm disgusted with myself.
So you're looking more for the fact that you were shaking your head and had your head down more
right,
than the
that's why I say, you listen words. With your eyes.
Okay.
The eyes, the main instrument of hearing. Okay, now let's keep practicing. We'll go back to the role play. Yeah.
How do you read when you first started out as a student and you got the one word responses? Yes, no, soccer.
Okay, let me ask you. What was his behavior saying to you?
He didn't want to talk to me.
Right. Reflect that. People are communicating all the time. Reflect what they're communicating. It's just that you don't want that communication. So you reject that and listen selectively to what you want, see? Reflect it. Make a deposit. Make a deposit. I can sense you'd rather not talk now, son. Particularly to me. Fine. Just make a deposit. Show you understand, see? And make another deposit in another way. Apologize for last night's overreaction. Embarrass him in front of his friends. And make another deposit. Be faithful to a commitment you made to him regarding the car or something like this. Little by little, you'll get into the plus figures. Okay, let's go back to the role play.
We'll take this second level here.
Well, here's the thing. Dad, I mean, Timmy's not just my brother. He is my best friend. And the way I tease him up the wall every day, he ends up in tears. Oh, gosh.
He makes you feel uncomfortable when you do that to your brother.
Good. I might as well tell you what it is. Dad, I... Oh, it's so hard to say. You won't tell Mom, will you?
Is that your concern?
You're concerned about your mother finding out? That is beautiful, see? Most people, oh no, son, it's just between us. Or, well, it kind of depends, son. Or they try to teach you a lesson, you know, your mother and I share about everything. But he didn't. He didn't bite that baited hook. He said, you're concerned about your mother finding out. Well, I just don't know if she'd understand like you are. Dad, oh, I guess you can tell her. She'll find out anyway. What just happened? Right. You let the feeling live, it dies birthing. You deny the feeling life, it struggles for life. Remember the principle of air? Always show acceptance and understanding. Not agreement. Just understanding. Now, a lot of people who've been listened to so little will interpret understanding as agreement. So you have to be very explicit. And be very upfront about this technique. Tell them exactly what you're doing. I'm trying to see if I understand what you're saying, how you see it. I'm not even taking a position myself. I'm not agreeing, disagreeing. I really want to understand. See? Reaffirm your motive. Yeah, Dad, oh, boy. You'll find out soon enough, I guess. I'm flunking. And I
figure if I'm flunking, you know, why not quit? But then I don't want to quit. Never have I wanted to stay in school as much as I do now. Look, you know, I want to quit, but then I don't want to quit. I want to quit to save face. I mean, I'm flunking, but then I don't want to quit because I realize more than ever, Dad, my future lies in education. You try.
You're torn between staying in school, but you, I think you realize that it's important for you to stay in.
Yeah. I mean, all of the classes, there's a heavy component of reading I'm flunking. Oh, boy, this is... I don't know. I might as well just tell you. I mean, I took this reading test, and they put me at the fourth grade level. Here I am in the so-called 11th grade. Okay, now get at the depth of my feeling, someone. Now look, I took this... Oh, humiliated, you know. Just absolutely devastated. Fourth grade. Here I am in the 11th grade, and... It really hurts. I mean, it's just total surprise to you and disappointment. Oh, I don't know. You see, that's it. That's it. And see, if I'm not going to do good in school, I just have constant embarrassment. Why not quit? You see what I mean? Now see what the problem is? You can't possibly prescribe before you've diagnosed. You see what I mean, Dad? What I understand you, son, saying is that you're really torn in the bottom of a dilemma and you don't know which way to turn. That. Yeah, because every way I look, I mean, I want to quit, I don't want to quit. Each alternative is bad. Do you see anything else I could do, Dad? Now, where are we?
You asked him for advice.
Right. Whose autobiography does the kid want? He wants your autobiography. When you went to the doctor for a diagnosis, you wanted a prescription, didn't you, eventually? After the diagnosis was complete. Did you want it before the diagnosis was complete? Not at all. You have to take great patience to make sure, and you'll find they'll have a tendency to ask for it. But test them. I'll play the role for a second. Yeah, I don't know. It's. Do you see anything I could do, Dad? You're interested in my reaction. You feel like I might be helpful to you. Oh, I don't know. I checked it out. Seems futile to you then, son. So you're testing him. Futile to you. And yet, what to do? What would you do if it were you, Dad? I see some alternatives I'll explore with you if you want. He's open. He wants autobiography. What? Now remember, as soon as you get into emotional material, what do? Get to back to empathy. What? Tutoring over there at the tech school? I've checked into that. Two nights every week, all day Saturday. Too big of a cost. Good. Too much of a price. That was excellent empathy. I was doubting the program, whether it would really help me. I think it would, son. Let me tell you the reasons why. See, you're on the same side of the problem with your son, looking over there at the problem. You're not over there in an adversarial thing, testing him, playing around with your autobiography in his life. Can you see the futility of reading chapters 4, 5, and 6 about the struggles you had in school early into this communication? Or getting into an ego battle like we had going on here, the value of high school itself? This capacity takes a lot of internal fortitude to use it. It's not just a little skill of reflecting feeling, because that comes out of a kind of an openness, a courage inside to listen in depth to other people. It's not an easy thing, but it can be learned. And that's the thrilling thing about it. And if you practice it, particularly with people who don't know you so well, you'll be amazed how they'll open up. Let me say a word about the brain. The right side perceives things differently than the left side. I've given the speech much, I've worn out my hair. The left side is the logical, reasoning, verbal side. The right side is the more creative, intuitive, sensing, feeling side. The two parts of the brain. Which part do you think we're talking about the most here? Right side. What about people that haven't developed much right brain? They'll listen almost entirely with their ears to content, to words, and then they'll get into their autobiography. Why?
Because look at the strengths of probing. Keeps you in control. It's logical. It's autobiographical. But what are the weaknesses of probing? It takes control. It's autobiographical. And it's logical. The language of logic and the language of sentiment are two different languages. I'll tell you another thing. It's invasive. It invades people. At your pace and your speed. Son, what's the deeper problem? Come on, probably something's happening at school. Now, what is it? See, I have to be consistent. I'm so embarrassed by that. No, nothing's happening. I'm just telling you, Dad, that school just isn't as much worth as people are saying it is. And everyone agrees with me. See? Now I'm into an ego battle. Now, I also realize that most of you were very trained, skilled probers. Particularly those of you who are professional people. Because probing is an excellent information gathering technique. If the problems are situational and safe. But almost all of us acknowledge we're running constantly into situations where problems are emotional. And probably won't do it. You can play 20 questions to your heart's content. You won't find out. Some people say, this takes too much time, Stephen. 20 questions is what takes time. A discerning empathizer can read what's happening down deep fast. And show such acceptance, such understanding, that the other person is given air. They feel safe to open up one more layer after another until you get to the soft inner core where I'm willing to admit my problem is that I'm flunking school, or whatever the case may be. When people are really hurting, and you empathize, and particularly acknowledge maybe errors that you have made, make deposits of other kinds as well, you'd be amazed how fast people will open up. They want to open up. They want desperately to open up, even more to their parents than to their peers. You know why? Because their peers have more conditional love than the parents have in most cases. And they want to say what the norm says that they want to say, see? What's the macho thing to say? What's the cool thing to say? But with parents who down deep they feel unconditional love from, they're the ones that they would love to open up with if they can. If they can feel that you'll be faithful to them afterwards and stay with them and not hop all over and ridicule them, I would stay with the process. If their behavior said to me, I don't want to talk anymore now, I think I'd respect that. That maybe later that day or the next day, it's not a matter necessarily of days and weeks and months. I'd say this, that I would read the behavior a lot and affirm your motive. I sense, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to understand. The other day I was in a seminar and some training was given on listening and empathy. And I thought about my relationship with you. And I realized I haven't listened like I should listen. But I want to. It's hard for me. I realized I haven't listened like I should listen. But I want to. It's hard for me. I may blow it sometimes, but I'm going to work at it. I'm going to try to give myself to it. I apologize to you, honey. I haven't been as good a listener. But I'm going to go to work on it if I can possibly do it. Help me. You know, if you affirm your motive, it's a huge deposit. Then say, let me see if I understand. What I hear you saying is, there's two parts to empathy. First of all, the skill and the attitude. It's like an iceberg. The tip of the iceberg is the skill. The attitude is the great mass of the iceberg. Which is the most important, do you think? The attitude. Without any question. You can bomb out on the technique I'm trying to teach, and if your fundamental attitude is empathic, it'll communicate. Because what you are in the last analysis communicates eloquently. But if you do have the skill as well as the attitude, it can so facilitate the process. You lubricate it. Now, let me say a word about this skill. There's five basic stages in this empathy. If you want to learn the skill, you're learning a skill now, remember. We're just practicing it, preparing to use it. One, mimic content. What skill do you have to learn to mimic content? Listen. You listen with your ears to words coming out of people's mouth. You with me? And you're hardly even using your brain, right? You're just mimicking. Second, rephrase content. Now this time, you have to put their meaning in your words, which means what? You have to think about it, mostly the left side, see? the reasoning, logical side of the brain. The right side perceives things differently than the left side. Third, this brings your right brain into operation. Reflect feeling. Ignore content. Reflect feeling. Fourth, do both 2 and 3. In other words, rephrase the content and what? Reflect the feeling. Son, you seem very unhappy with your schooling situation. See, unhappy, that's the feeling. Schooling is the content. Yeah, I mean, there's just nothing in it. It just seems like a total waste of time. Seems like it's useless. And, yeah, and everyone agrees. I mean, why hang around? I just feel like I ought to quit and get a job. I mean, it just seems to have more pluses on that side. I mean, look at the things Joe can do. Look at the money he makes. Look at the freedom he has. Kind of turns you on. But, you know, the way Joe brags about it makes you wonder, Dad. You question his sincerity. Yeah. I don't think he means it. I think he had to quit. I think anyone who quits today is nuts. You feel school's very important. It's the whole key to a person's future. I sense, son, you feel very strong about that. I don't know. Oh, boy, the way I've been around home lately. See, just healing one thing after another. Had to deal with the issue with the father or the mother on the school board. Then with the whole family. Then the brother. Then the other parent, see. Gradually gets to wear the soft inner core. Might as well quit. But then I don't want to quit. Deeply torn about it. I mean, it can take just a few minutes if you're skilled with this. Amazingly powerful. As long as it flows out of your character. The fifth is when not to do this. When not to do this. Look, if I'm sure I understand your point, do I need to rephrase it? No. If I'm sure you feel understood, do I need to rephrase it? No. You don't insult people. You only do it when you're not sure you understand or you're not sure the other person feels understood. I might say this. With regard to this principle, seek first to understand. What's the other half of it? Then to be understood. We've only dealt with the principle, the sequence principle, but that's the essence of what I'm trying to teach. Always do that one first. Then seek to be understood. Let me just say a word on this. As with all of those professions, as with this son in this role play or any other situation, once you understand, the person is far more open to your influence. And you can courageously put forth your point of view. The other day, a friend of mine, a professor at a university, said, "Stephen, you know, I can't get to first base getting the funding I need on my research because my research is really not in the mainstream of this department's interest." I said, "If I were you, I'd make an effective presentation. Describe the alternative they are in favor of better than they can themselves. Show that you understand them in depth and describe it better than so they feel deeply understood. You can do it. Do it. I encourage you to do it." He said, "Well, I'll try." I said, "Now remember, you want to practice with me?" And he was willing to. He went in to make his presentation. And he said, "Let me see if I first understand what the concerns are about my presentation and my recommendation and what you're really going after." He took the time to do it slowly, gradually. In the middle of his presentation, demonstrating his depth of understanding of their point, a senior professor turned to another one, nodded, turned back to him and said, "You've got your money." I was in Chicago training some people. It was all on this subject. I asked them, "Practice it tonight and report back the next morning." One man came in the next morning and said, "I cannot believe what happened last night. Can you briefly describe it?" He said, "All right. I've been working on a real estate deal for many, many months. And we were in the wrap-up stage, right there in the hotel room. I could see that the deal was not going in my favor. The main principal was there, an attorney, CPA, another real estate person that came in with another alternative just recently, myself and one other person. And I panicked." He said, "I had all my eggs in that one basket. I had no other business, all my income. I was going into debt, and it wasn't going in my direction. I just pulled out every stop I knew. The final stop was to say this. Could we just delay this decision a little longer? But the momentum was so strong, and they were so disgusted by having this thing go on so long, it was obvious they were going to close up. So I said to myself, well, why not try it? Why don't I try what we talked about today? I've got nothing, you know, to lose. I've already lost it, and maybe something to gain. So he said to the man, calling him by name, he said, let me see if I correctly understand what your whole situation is and what your concerns are. I'm going to see if I can reflect it accurately. He said, I took no more than about 2 minutes to describe what this man's objectives were and his concerns about the recommendation I'd made and the favorable points in the other side. In the middle of my expression, he said, calling me by name, would you excuse me for a moment? Stood up, walked to the other side of the hotel room, picked up a phone, called his wife long distance. In the middle of a long distance call, turned around and said, you've got the deal. This guy said, I was totally dumbfounded. He said, I am even this morning. I explained to him the human dynamic was more important than the technical dynamic, and that he had a huge emotional bank account, and the fact he gave that man psychological air caused that man to feel, other things being relatively equal, this man deserves the deal. And he's making such an effort to understand and to show concern and empathy, he deserves the deal. And I suggest that is the essence of what makes that principle work. It gives psychological air to people. You know, over the years, as I have attempted to teach this empathy material, I've learned that there are some very real arguments against it, some objections to it. And I'd like to just talk about a few of those and give my reaction to them. First, I find that many people would like it to be the case, but they also want it to be a panacea, a cure-all, as it were, to all kinds of human relations problems. And it isn't. It's just another extremely powerful skill to use in interpersonal relations, along with other skills. It's not the, you know, the be-all and end-all of communication. I'd focus on it so heavily simply because most people have never had any training in it at all. Really. I mean, didn't you find yourself, as we went through this little role play, how difficult it was? It's not an easy thing to do. So that's the reason for the heavy focus, but I do not suggest that it is a panacea. Another concern a lot of people have is that it takes so much time. My answer to that basically is that it does take more time up front, but oh, what time it saves in the long run when you're acting on correct understanding. Some people feel that it takes special skill, like professional training. I do believe that it takes some skill, but it doesn't necessarily take professional training. People that are already good in communication are doing it all the time. They're empathically inside other people. And if you really feel empathy, the skill kind of naturally develops, particularly if you attempt to develop it. So it doesn't take any real special training or professional expertise to do it. It's a very natural thing to reflect what another person is feeling. You see, it's like a whole person listening to a whole person. That's a good way of looking at it. A whole person, that is not just what I say, but my face, my body language, a whole person, my heart, my feeling, is communicating. And you are a whole person. That is, you're listening with your eyes, your ears, both sides of the brain. That is, your intuitive side, the right sensing side, the feeling side, as well as the more analytical, logical, verbal side. I find another thing that people are concerned about is that they don't really have faith that it works. All I would say is this. You don't use the principle because it works. If you do, you're probably manipulating, not empathizing. You use it because you really want to understand, not to shape someone up, not to correct their attitude or to, in some way, do your thing on them. You really want to understand them. Some people say, I don't have the desire to do it. That's an honest expression. Many people don't. It's risky business to truly empathize with others because you are open and you're vulnerable. All I would say is the value of doing it is so immense. The power of healing, of therapy, of huge deposits is so great.